match, he was a heel. He was jawjacking with the crowd. He was doing stupid, you know, posing and taking his time and really trying to get into Swerve's head, whereas Swerve was doing the more FaceTime poses. You know, he's doing the whose house, you know, and then crowd goes Swerve's house before he hits the house call. So there's a lot to like about this matchup. They didn't try to redo that spot on the table, which I thought was so smart. Just call it a day. If you still got to go through a table, figure out a new way. Because I don't know if the spot for the Swerve doing the dead eye was planned or not. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it was. Maybe they called an audible. You could complain that it took a while to get the table around, but you got to find it first. Prince Nana, as always, was utterly fantastic. I mean, this was so good. Like, so you guys saw my Adam Hangman Page shirt last week, and I have a shirt from when he won the world title. So, like, I like Adam Hangman Page. I'm a huge fan of Swerve, huge fan of Adam Hangman Page, right? Right? This match was so good. When he hit Prince Nana with that chair, I literally, in this chair, said, what for? Like, I know he thinks in his brain that Prince Nana put Swerve Strickland's foot on the rope, but I really did go, what for? Why? Why? Prince Nana did nothing to you, and that's a heel thing. Prince Nana did do absolutely nothing. All he did was hype up Swerve with his dance and stuff. It was great. This was fantastic pro wrestling. And if you're listening to this or watching this still because I was talking for 10 minutes into nothing, go out of your way to watch this. If you have walked away from the AEW product, go out of your way to watch this. This is where they've been going. It takes time to get there. It's a five-year company with a lot of professionals that have been in this business for a long time, but Tony still got to learn and develop his own style and how he wants things to go. So this was a fine example of two people who really came to prominence in this company showing you how good they are and how far they have come. And where the company is going with them. This is The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin for this generation of professional wrestling. They will be synonymous with each other forever now. They literally will fight forever. Sure, there'll be a time where they get along, probably, maybe, but it'll be few and far between. They'll both be on other sides of the aisle, and I really like that after Full Gear, they really turned right into this skid and really started getting behind Swerve as their top guy. Now, I don't know if Swerve's going to win. I don't know how I feel about Joe's, if he has a short title reign. I still think it's a good title reign, but he hasn't had a lot of matches, but I don't really care about that as much. He's been involved on the show. He's been in commentary. He's picking his spots as a smart champion should, but he's still there. So it's not like, oh, Samoa Joe's never there. Like, he's already defended it once. He beat MJF for it. Like, it's fine. And he's on the show. So there's not a whole lot you could ask for from your world heavyweight champion, as far as I'm concerned, in a good title run. He's got me wanting to see him win, even though I want Swerve to win. I mean, it would just be so poetic for 2 years to the pay-per-view that Swerve Strickland showed up in AEW, then he would win the World Heavyweight Championship. But I'll be upset. As a fan of Swerve, I'm not bullshitting you. I'll be upset. I don't think I'll be a, you know, IWC crazy person upset, but I'll be upset. I'll be upset. I might cry. I probably won't cry, but I'll be upset because I get it. Like, Joe deserves a good title, nice long title run. I'm going to change that. Joe has earned a long title run if that's the way they're going. Cool. No big deal. Joe's been in there, been in the trenches, putting in the damn work, trying to get Ring of Honor titles over at the same time that he's over here killing it on AEW television. Wrestling like a veteran should, smart things that it's like, man, forget this, I'm out of here. So really, really go out. If you didn't see this match, go out of your way to watch it. I don't know what else I can say. Their chemistry is wicked. Like, I mean, think Angle and Benoit mixed with Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you have what you got last night. That was utterly fantastic. Go out of your way to watch it. We're going to keep this moving because we're definitely be cutting out early. I said this at the beginning of the show, but no one heard me because I'm a jackass that, you know, I would appreciate you guys watching and hanging out during the, instead of watching the huge WrestleMania press conference that starts at 7, but I'm smarter than that. I'd greatly appreciate it, but I have no, there's no reason for anybody to, like I said, it'd be cool, but there's no reason for anybody to tune in during the press conference. I mean, if you're like me and you're crazy and you have like four screens available, you know, you could mute me, but no, we're just not even going to mess with that. And so we'll be off of here by 7. We'll just try to make everything a little bit quicker. Of course, since I got to get my thoughts and everything actually to you about the Swerve Strickland Adam Hangman Page match, so sorry about that. So we had to go through that again. At least only I heard it twice, I guess. It'll be four times by the time I post this, because I listen to the show each and every week on Spotify, like I ask you guys to, because as I am no longer a manager in restaurants and retail, but I used to be, and I used to always say, I'm not going to ask you to do something that I won't. That goes for this podcast. I listen each and every week, full 3 hours each and every week, to edit and throw onto the thing. And then I listen to it when it's thrown on to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Good Pods, Podbean. There's a lot. I've been trying to share it out, get it everywhere. So make sure you check that out and follow us on all of your favorite podcasting apps. And just push play. It's fine. There might be some stuff that's dated on there, but you know, with To the Turnbuckle is the whole Bruiser Nation podcast. Well, the wrestling side of the Bruiser Nation podcast network all sits in the same family right there on Spotify just for you, where you can go back and listen to me do commentary from this chair on New Japan. I'm trying to get back into that, but I got a lot of cookies and a lot of ovens right now, so I'm just trying to figure out which best to put back in the freezer and which to continue with the cooking process. I don't think that metaphor worked at all, but it's fine. Now, since you didn't hear this at the beginning of the show, as you can see, we got a couple new graphics. I almost pointed at it right. Whatever, it's fine. We got Dubby. We're with Dubby again. We just kind of fell off. That was our bad. But are you tired of feeling sluggish and drained during the day? Are you seeking an energy boost that won't leave you with the jitters or crashes? Look no further than Dubby Energy. Our unique ingredient, coffee fruit cherry extract, provides laser focus and fast reflex effects perfect for gamers and creators. Dubby Energy is the superior choice with a carefully selected blend of 10 essential ingredients for focus and concentration, including important amino acids and vitamins you won't find in regular canned energy drinks. This is way better than when no one was listening. Transparency matters to us, which is why our labels disclose full ingredient amounts, and our products are free from fillers, artificial colors, and dyes. Plus, they're sugar-free, maltodextrin-free, and keto-friendly. I think I said that maltodextrin right, but I'm not 100% sure. Fingers crossed. With a variety of clean and delicious energy drinks, including flavors like Calio Cream, Push and Punch, and Galaxy Grenade, Dubby Energy has something for everyone. Don't just take our word for it. Dubby Energy is even mom approved as America's tastiest gaming energy drink of 2023. Ready to level up your energy? Check out our products on the W Energy website and join the community of those striving to improve. We're in the process of getting Galaxy Grenade. I'm really excited to try that one. There is actually a link in the episode description today. Not only there's one right at the top, and there's one at the bottom that'll take you right to the Galaxy Grenade. If you go to W and you decide to purchase some of their nice, crisp, no crash energy, which is good in water, good in smoothies, you name it, you can mix it. You can mix it with your protein. If you go to the gym, it's fine. Just match the flavor with your protein powder, because I don't think vanilla and watermelon would mix very well, but I don't know. I don't like the protein powder. I'm not saying you might not, but I never did. I tried. My brother did. He might. Maybe I should ask him. Maybe I'll give him a little bit of this W that I'm getting in the mail, and we'll see. Maybe he'll tell me, yeah, vanilla and watermelon taste pretty good in these protein shakes. He might need it. I mean, he's got a newborn still and a toddler and a teenager. I mean, whew, he's a busy man, I tell you. He's got a lot of kids to take care of. At least, whew. Ooh, it's cool though. He's got an amazing wife, so it's fine. Anyway, try W Energy today. Use the code BUCKLE if you do. I think I sidetracked myself. I don't know if I said that, but use the official code BUCKLE for 10% off. You get a deal, we get a deal. It's fine. Help us grow through our sponsors and through your viewership, comments, and love. We'll say love. Sure, people love us probably. It's fine. As we go down the card of AEW Dynamite, Red Velvet wrestled Tony Storm. I thought was utterly a really good match, especially for where Red Velvet came from. Really green around the same time as Jade Cargill. Not a lot of experience. And to have seen her grow, and you can see it. If you've watched the product from day one, you got to watch her grow into a really solid performer. She's one like storyline away for the fans, because I think the fans are already behind her, but I think she's one really good storyline away here, maybe next year, that maybe she could be heavily featured in the main event scene. I mean, she's in eliminator matches. That says something. They see something in her. But there's a lot going on in AEW right now. As far as the women division goes, they're trying to build it legitimately. They're trying. I can feel the winds of change as far as the women's division goes in AEW. It feels like it matters more. There's more stories. There's more women. Hopefully, you know, Taya Valkyrie shows back up on TV soon. You got 5 hours of television. You got to find somewhere to put her to help forward storylines. I like their Miz-like characters right now. So let's see that on TV. We got to give Red Velvet and Toni Storm their flowers for last night. That was a good matchup and a hard match to follow. Like, how the hell do you follow Swerve Strickland and Adam Hangman Page with stipulations or not? Those two are stupid, stupid good together. They have amazing chemistry. Rock and Stone Cold, they very much are. But they did a great job. They forwarded the story with Perrazzo and Toni Storm at the end. She made Red Velvet tap out to the ankle lock. After a little bit, Red Velvet hung on there for a minute, staring a dagger through Deonna Perrazzo. I thought that was really well done, really well executed women's eliminator match. And it forwarded their Perrazzo and Toni Storm story leading up to their title match in Revolution. I'm really excited to see where this goes, especially with the big announcement from Tony Khan that, as this show was so aptly titled, Big Business, heavily implied that it's the boss, Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. I think it's smart. They're trying the CM Punk formula again. And I'll take it. I think it's smart. She's billed from Boston. There's going to be a lot of people going there. She's a bigger draw than what people give her credit for. She is a huge reason why the women's division matters in WWE. Her and Charlotte. put on some bangers to help elevate that division. And now I'm not saying that Bailey and Becky didn't as well, and the younger women came in and kept it moving, but they were the feud that I feel like really started people looking at women's like, whoa, really? Like, at least as far as main roster and prominence, it changed everything. Their feud changed everything. So I'm real excited to see Mercedes come into the company. You know she cost a lot. So if they're spending that much money, you got to give her, I mean, not the full CM Punk treatment, because that's crazy. I don't think that's a good idea for any wrestler. I don't think any wrestler, any active full-time performer should not be making those kind of decisions, because it's nearly impossible to not let your ego get in the way. I just don't think it's smart. But as far as, like, what she wants to do, who she wants to wrestle, where she wants to go, sure, yeah, okay, do whatever. Because it's AEW. It's so much easier to just go, yeah, just do whatever. I trust you. Go. And I think that's another reason why, like, AEW Tony Khan seems to manage the way I manage to a point. Like, we won't talk about, you know, crazy Twitter shit. We won't talk about problems in the locker room. But it's like, with AEW, it's like, I hired you for a reason. You got this. I trust you. It's fine. And, you know, some wrestlers eventually get that from the WWE, but I think it's a lot more prominent in AEW, and that kind of stuff really speaks to me. And maybe, you know, there's just some big cloud over my eyes and they're pulling the wool over my head, and, you know, I'm wrong as fuck. It's fine. What are you going to do? It's pro wrestling at the end of the day, which, you know, we'll get to the chaos and everything else in pro wrestling from this past week. It's going to be a shorter show. We'll probably cover Dynamite. We'll do Run on the Ropes, and then we will call it a day. Like, Raw wasn't bad, but I really don't, I'm not, that was so long ago. We'll talk about Cody. We will talk about Cody. I'm pretty sure that's in Run on the Ropes, so don't worry. Don't tune out. We will talk about it. Then we had how do I describe John Moxley, Brian Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli versus Mascara Dorado, Valador Jr., and Hechicero? How? Go watch it. This is so good. Like, and if you missed Hechicero on Saturday, last Saturday, with Danielson, man, go back and watch that. This dude, whoa. Like, this guy is no joke good. It's stupid. It's weird. Like, you don't normally see this type of a luchador where he's technical and just shit, like, hanging with Brian Danielson. No shit. And, I mean, if you didn't watch their six-man from last night, check that out, too, because he really shows that off. Like, he's doing things they don't even have names for. He's just out there doing stuff. I like that we're getting another company involved with AEW. Now, you can always talk about return on investment, but we don't know what the investment is when Tony Khan works with other companies. Sometimes you're just, maybe they pay the wrestlers instead of CMLL. I don't know. But it is getting them on a national stage. It's going to make people want to pay attention, and I think it's smart where it's booked because they've been in the Southwest the past couple of weeks. On Saturday and last night, they've been in the Southwest. That's smart. Those are the people that are more likely to know about these guys. You know, the crazy AEW fan that's going to drive really far to watch some wrestling is going to have an awareness of some kind about some of these wrestlers. It's really good to bring them in, start them, you know, in the Southwest where they might have more of a chance being known, and then move this feud all the hell. Give us a Blood and Guts at Revolution. It's fine. Or at the Dynamite after. Like, I don't care. Like, make it go a little bit. Make it mean something. Doesn't need to go too long. Just they can wrestle someone else, but let's not have them feud for the next 6 months, the BCC and the CMLL guys. Let's not do that. But hats off to all six of these dudes. They kind of broke off in their own little things. I think it was, I know Hechicero, say that three times fast, was with Danielson. I want to say Moxley was with Dorado, but I don't know. I can't remember. It's all a blur, to be completely honest. And we flip-flopped on the rundown. We already talked about the announcement, but I mean, honestly, go out of your way to watch this entire damn show. There's no reason to turn any of this show off. Like, even if you're not into Chris Jericho right now, it's worth watching this entire show. It was absolutely fantastic, but a great six-man tag match. Nothing too wild, but I think it's really building the scenes to get these guys some national attention. And, you know, I'm always going to come down to this. They can ask for more money now. Like, that's a big deal. Because, you know me, unless they do something, like, fucking terrible, I'm all for the wrestlers. So, I mean, they can demand more money. I was on national television. I'm going to need some more cash. That's good. It's good for them. I mean, you got to make your money in this business. So, go out there and get it. And if that's all that comes from it, and CMLL gets, you know, some pay-per-view buys, and more people go seek out their product. I actually need to seek out their product and see where I can watch it. I don't know, and I feel bad that I don't. And, you know, maybe it gets people interested, because these guys are good. And it's not, especially when you imagine there's got to be more than one Hechicero type guy, if you really think about it. Like, we just don't see it, because their style is more of the high flying. It takes a lot of guts. It's a lot of guts to do what Hechicero is doing right now. And I think everyone should go out of their way to support him and find where you can watch his matches after he's done with this stint in AEW. When I go to Colorado this summer, if they're over there somewhere, there might be a stop. We're taking a detour, me and Jason going through Texas and stuff. So, man, if he's wrestling when we're driving, and we're just doing that for fun. I know I can go straight down 70 and get to Colorado just fine, but I've made that drive multiple times. I want to do something different this time. Konosuke Takeshita with Don Callis and Powerhouse Hobbs made Chris Jericho, yeah, that guy, tap out to his own submission hold, and no one has ever done that before. Not one person. Now, your mileage may vary, and I probably could have said that more excitedly, but I can see that Chris Jericho sees a lot in Konosuke Takeshita. I can see that Chris Jericho sees a lot in Powerhouse Hobbs. I can see that Chris Jericho sees a lot in Action Andretti. What do these three men have in common? Well, they've all done things to Chris Jericho that people have never seen. Chris Jericho had never lost to an enhancement talent, for lack of a better term, of what Action Andretti was then. No one had ever squashed, not even Mark Henry squashed Chris Jericho the way Powerhouse Hobbs squashed Chris Jericho. And then Takeshita now has beaten Chris Jericho with the Walls of Jericho, or the Lion Tamer, because he did walk forward and put the knee down, so technically it's the Lion Tamer. Hopefully it does something, because Powerhouse Hobbs isn't anywhere, and, you know, credit where credit's due, where we get a little judgy over here on this side of the table. Kenny got hurt, messed the whole thing up. Now nobody has anything to do. What are we going to do? Well, let's do this until we figure this out. Because you have this piece over here with Swerve, Hangman, and Joe. You got Sting's retirement. You got Tony Storm and Deonna Purrazzo. And you got to be able to give them the, you know, right time, right promotion to get people in that building, which looked like a really big crowd to see Sting. That was fantastic. So we just, like I said, use what you have with Sting right now. I don't think I have said this. Maybe I did. use what, because that crowd was there because Sting was in the main event. I have no doubt in my, were there people there to see Swerve? Yeah. Were there people there to see Adam Hangman Page? Yeah. There were probably people there to see Chris, Tony Storm, Gianna Perrazzo. I guarantee you more people bought that ticket because Sting was wrestling. And there's something to be said for that because of the show they put on when Sting was main eventing. If they can do this in a Dynamite, imagine what Revolution's going to be like with Sting main eventing in his last match, defending the AEW Tag Team Championships. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. It's going to be fantastic. Like I said, I think this is, it's actually in the description. You know, I was going to have this conversation with Logan, but you know, he's indisposed today. Travis is indisposed today. So I think that last night is the corner. Now there's still a long way to go after the corner. We still got to keep it up. Keep going. Hype up big business, because Mercedes Moné can make a huge difference in your company. Just don't waste this money. Don't waste this chance. Make sure the women's division keeps getting focused. And, I mean, maybe go to, I can't believe I'm saying this, maybe go to 3-hour Dynamites. Rampage is already there. Like, it's nice to have Rampage on a Saturday morning, because I get tired on Fridays. Most of the time I can't, especially when there's Battle of the Belts and trying to watch SmackDown. It's like, all right, I'm going to watch this stuff tomorrow, and then I'll watch Collision tonight, and it'll be fine. But maybe it's time to just call it a day. And, you know, you can even keep Rampage and say this is Rampage or whatever, like WWE used to with Raw and Warzone. Like, it doesn't matter. But maybe we could have, because there is a section of the audience that doesn't tune into Rampage, which they really should. It's a really good hour of wrestling, and it feels like it goes by so fast. You should really check it out. But if you put it on a 3-hour Dynamite, that gives you more room to flesh stuff out a little bit. More mainstream fans are going to see the storylines and not miss the nuances that they might miss on Rampage. Just an idea. Or keep Rampage. I don't care. I'm going to watch them anyway. It's all up to you, especially with, I mean, after WWE getting the Netflix deal, they might be on Max in the next 6 months. So who knows what's going to happen, which I'm really excited for. That'd be so cool. Anyway, let's keep going as we have, did we talk about? Yeah, because, I mean, so this, let's hope that they go somewhere with Takeshita after beating Chris Jericho again. I love Chris. It's the greatest of all time for now, because Swerve's fucking fantastic. But, I mean, you're supposed to have new greatest of all times, as far as I'm concerned. Like, yeah, there's the Hogans, the Cenas, the Austins, the Rocks, the Jerichos. Like, that's cool. People should be better. You lay the foundation, and every generation gets better and better and better. So we should be having these conversations. Nothing against the Hogans, the Flairs, the Rocks, the Austins, but it's good to see amazing talent still come through, especially in this world of pro wrestling where we basically have 7 days a week of pro wrestling. There's so much harder to get noticed, especially with the gray area that is 2024. We kind of want to chant for who we want to, not the strict babyface and heel as shown last night in Hangman Page and Swerve. I mean, Swerve went into this dude's house, cut a promo over his baby's crib. But, like, Hangman Page is getting booed. Like, it's so pro wrestling. It's so stupid. It's great. Love it. But, well, let's talk about that main event, won't we? I thought it was fun. God, I love watching Sting right now. Just going out there, doing whatever the hell he wants. I was a little bit worried when he dove off that top and he landed. I kind of thought he might have hit his head on the concrete for a second. I don't know. But, like, Big Bill, thank God. Like, Big Bill was there, because that man's giant body took all of Sting. Thank God. Like, I don't know if anybody else could have, because he's like 7 feet tall and almost 300 pounds. He can handle it. It's fine. But like, if he'd have done that, like, chest to chest with Ricky Starks, Jesus Christ, that would have been terrible. So good call on that. Speaking of Big Bill, I feel like he tried to murder Darby. That, like, Boss Man black hole slam of his when Darby came coming, running, diving, you know, with the incredible speed that only Darby Allin has for some reason, and Big Bill caught him, and he spun around, and Boss Man slammed him, and oh my God. Oh my God. Had to rewind it. Had to rewind it. And they replayed things. They're getting really good at the replays. Like, I'd say, because I did get on them. I didn't get on. I just said, just keep doing them. You're going to make mistakes. Just keep doing them. I haven't even gotten to replays yet. Takes money. I don't have a lot of it. Well, a lot of expendable. Not fucking poor. But really, really good tornado tag team match. Big Bill and Ricky Starks have been fantastic tag team champions. Big Bill has gotten over, and I don't know if I saw that coming or not. Like, I was excited when he came in. I liked the dude. He does things really well as a big man. He's a big man wrestler, and it's fantastic. But I didn't see this coming. He is so good right now, and I don't know where you go with this. Do they stay friends? I don't want to see them wrestle each other. But I don't know if they should stay a tag team or not either. I think Ricky Starks needs to get back involved with the world title. I think it would be a good spot for him to be in. Even if he doesn't win it this year, you can still place him in the right spot to maybe take it next year. There's so many options in AEW right now where the world title can go. And that is a great, great problem to have. But I mean, this match isn't even full story. Everything that Sting did, you know, he played the hits, plus some new stuff, recent new stuff. It's not like he just started jumping off of anything he can get on yesterday, but, you know, his recent hits and the greatest hits all mixed up into one with the car crash that is always Darby Allin. You throw in 7 foot tall Big Bill because you can't teach that, walking around with Darby Allin on his back trying to get into the ring, then he falls over the in through the table that they did a great job making you forget about, which I think is the biggest thing. If you're going to pull out a table, is you got to kind of make us forget about it. We knew it was there because we're popping that it was there, but the viewer at home isn't always in view of the table. Hell, the viewer in the arena isn't always in view of the table. You might be watching something else. You might be on the hard cam side and on the floor. You can't see across and see what's on the floor over there. So really great job all around. What a moment for Sting winning tag team gold 62. Tell me if I'm wrong, somebody. And his AEW World Tag Team Champions with Darby Allin. And then Sting's sons came in the ring and shared in the ovation and the ticker tape parade or shooters or whatever you want to call it, because it wasn't a parade. But then the dastardly, evil, terrible, asshole executive vice president's Young Bucks come out and, dude, they beat the shit out of them. Like, oh my God. They beat up Sting's sons. They beat up Sting. Darby was bleeding all over the place. I mean, fantastic choice in clothes. Like, that's just, I mean, that's pro wrestling 101. Oh, you're going to bleed? Oh, we're wearing white suits today. That's where we're going with this. We're going to get these specially made, and we're never going to wear them again because blood's not going to come out. It's fine. We'll never wear them again. We'll sell them on eBay. It's fine. When we're retired, we need a little bit more mailbox money. Yeah, we'll sell them, bitches. Sell them to Conrad. Sell them to Conrad Thompson. He'll probably buy them tomorrow. That'd be a good idea. But what an angle, man. This is the best version of the Young Bucks, period. This is great. Now I am more, like, because I've talked about this with Logan and Travis and in our group chat, our pro wrestling group chat, that, like, I like the Young Bucks. I like their matches. But now I like their characters, too. So It's really, I really feel like AEW is turning a corner right now as far as everything goes with their storytelling, their character work. They're trying to go a very realistic style of pro wrestling and pro wrestling characters. There's some over the top. That's always going to be there. It's pro wrestling. But the pomp and circumstance isn't as heavy. They kind of let the guys go out, do their thing. You know, you get the big pyros, you get the big moments, you get Sting. Like that, that's going to be crazy. Revolution is going to be stupid. Not stupid like terrible, but like stupid as in every match is going to be fire because every wrestler in that locker room knows what this means. Like, being on that card would have to be an honor in and of itself. I'm on the same card as Sting's last match. Like, this is something else. So you would already feel like you belong, but like, this is a time to make your statement. Make sure the people don't forget about you. Leave them remembering something. And I don't mean crazy dives and table spots, like something that will stay in their brain forever. And sometimes those are crazy dives. Like, I want to think of the spear off the hooks for the belts that Edge did to Jeff at WrestleMania. But I mean, there's also times of character work that you'll never forget again. So that was my review of Dynamite. Like I said, if you didn't see it, go out. If you have the time, go out and watch it. If you love pro wrestling, just go watch it. It's totally worth your 2 hours, hour, 45 minutes. At this point, you'd be watching it without commercials. You can fast forward the commercials or skip the commercials or whatever. I don't know. Sometimes I still watch them. I mean, it's harder these days with picture in picture to skip the commercials. I mean, that's why they do them. So, I mean, just go out and watch it. If you don't have time, watch Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland. That's going to give you the best professional wrestling entertainment for your time. But if you have time to watch the whole show, do it. It's worth it. Like, the crowd was a little worn out, then they got back in it. I mean, it was a really good show all the way around. We had storyline development. We had character changes, character development. We got heels and baby faces. I'm sure Adam Hangman Page will come out next week and bitch at the fans for booing him after this man has broken into his house and cut a promo over his baby's crib. But Hangman, I'll give you one more. I'll give you one more. The one thing that you did that made it turn, even though we all loved it, man, you drank that man's blood, man. You went vampire. That shit's wild. That I think that's what did it. We realized how mean and vicious the cowboy can be in that moment. And I'm kind of ready to see where else he goes with a villain cowboy character. Is going to be great. We're going to take a quick break. Buckle Brigade will be right back after this message from us.
Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I got to turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Matches up in front of you.
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah.
Mr. Samoa Joe?
Stop talking to me.
Put the jack in jackassery.
Shopping cart down a hill.
I'll do it.
I see it.
I'll do it for free.
See it now. I certainly hope so because I don't have the money to pay you for it.
Well, I mean, you could slide me a buck.
I could.
You cheap bastard.
Wow.
It's like SpongeBob meets Mr. Krabs over here.
Get back and forth places.
I have a disability, I would hope. Are you my friend or aren't you?
I don't want to ignore our dozen of fans. That would be terrible.
Our dozen of fans. I like it. We are humble,
but let's make no worries
for the rest of your days.
Burner barrel.
It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
All right, guys, I am back, ready to go for the rest of this edition of To the Turnbuckle. Just a reminder, we are once again partnering with Dubby Energy. Follow the links in the description, right under the description, right down there. It's down there, I promise. To get our link, just follow that right there to Dubby Energy. Get yourself some nice, clean, non-jittery energy for you through Dubby. Now, it does take a minute. It's a powder form. Goes great in your smoothies, great in your water. I mean, you want a little bit of extra watermelon in your watermelon Gatorade? Well, there it is. There it is. You want a little bit of extra... Put it in water, it's better than Gatorade, honestly. It's fine. You get your energy, you get your hydration, it's fine. It's great. Try Dubby Energy today. Galaxy Grenade, the latest flavor that we're trying here at To The Turnbuckle and the Bruiser Nation Podcast Network, a division of Snapmare Productions, that we're excited for that coming in. Well, it comes in like 3 days. Like, it's coming from California, it's cool, but like, I remember the first time I got it, I was like, wait, what? How'd it get here this fast from over there? Standard shipping, like the far-ass corner of California. But, you know, support small business-ish. I don't know how big they are. But, hey, I like their products. Use the code BUCKLE if you do decide to make a purchase there. And we will get a share of the commission, and you'll get 10% off. I mean, win-win, right? Try something new. If you don't like it, I mean, you're not out a whole lot of money. It's cool. It's good. It's good. I will tell you right now, you will not be disappointed with the type of energy that it gives you. It fucking smells fantastic. I'll tell you that right now. You'll open that lid. You're like, woo. But it's a hard energy to just, you're just ready. It's you're focused. You're ready to go. And then you're not looking for another energy drink 2 hours later. I've been there. I used to drink like 3 Bang Sour Patch Kids a day. I've been there. Monsters are good. The Java Monsters are good. I get it. But this Dubby Energy, it's better for you. Makes you feel good. Ready, focused, fire, ready to go. Like for a show. Like To The Turnbuckle. You know what I'm saying? Like, it gets you ready. Or for February 17th, when we're out in Mansfield for ASWA Saturday Night Slam. We will be out there once again broadcasting Snapmare Productions. Yours truly, Logan Morris, Travis Snapper. We'll be out there broadcasting that show. Don't miss it. It's totally worth your time if you are in Mansfield or Mansfield adjacent here in Ohio, that you go check that out at the Malabar School Gymnasium in Mansfield, Ohio. It's worth your time. It is. It's a nice little Saturday night with the kids. It's family friendly. They have a good time. They're having a hardcore straight jacket match on Saturday. Not this Saturday, next Saturday. I'll have a plug ready for it this coming next show. Like, this was terrible. I did not plan this at all. But anyway, running the ropes, and then we'll get the hell out of here. A video call TNA held with talent to discuss Scott D'Amore's firing didn't go over well after Anthem officials contradicted their own press release by saying D'Amore stepped down, and new president Anthony Ciccione read a prepared statement but didn't allow wrestlers to ask questions, according to PW Insider. A Fightful Select report on D'Amore's exit confirmed that talent aren't happy and said they haven't been given a reason for the move beyond that it was beyond what was in the public announcement. One wrestler told them he had heard Anthem wants TNA to be more closely associated with them rather than D'Amore. Haas of Wrestling heard there were 2 video calls and that the first ended with TNA producer Tommy Dreamer telling talent that if they wanted out of their deals after D'Amore's firing, they could have those discussions with the company privately. Whoa. That is a lot. There's a lot to digest after last night. So, you know, last night the news came down that last night, it was somewhere in between, and that TNA had released Scott D'Amore, which came as a shock to everybody because, wow, I mean, that dude has done a lot of good work for TNA. He's the reason why they are where they are right now. I don't like the 2 different messages. Like, that's not cool. You should not have give the public one message and then tell your wrestlers another one. Like, that is not cool. That's because it's 2024. Like, they're not going to see the press release. It's not 1987. They might not read the paper that morning. Like, but other than that, I don't know. If they're trying to align things, and, you know, from what I've heard from, well, Tommy on Busted Open, Ciccione is a wrestling fan. All right. Cool. I can handle that. I can handle that. Let's give him a chance because, I mean, if we try to blow this whole thing up, where to get anybody? Like, he's a wrestling fan. That's all you can ask for from an executive as far as I'm concerned because most executives couldn't give a shit about pro wrestling. So having a wrestling fan in charge and making decisions, it's fine. It's fine. It's worked for AEW. Speaking of AEW, maybe give Scott D'Amore a call. He could help a lot, like, in this transition that you have for the women's division that we can all see if we're watching the product that, you know, he did wonders. That was the best and maybe still is the best women's roster in professional wrestling, and he can bring that to AEW. I don't know if there's any clauses about when Scott D'Amore can work again. I don't know how soon he would want to work again. I mean, if anybody has earned a break, it's Scott D'Amore, but what we know about wrestling promoters is they hate taking breaks. They like to do shit all day, every day. It's wild. But I would definitely... I mean, hopefully Tony Khan at least reached out and said, "Hey, man, I'm sorry," and maybe they'll work together again in a more official capacity. I mean, those two companies helped each other get through the pandemic. There's a bond there, so we'll see where it goes. I'm not gonna freak out. We just really have to see where this goes. Kind of surprised that Tommy would. I mean. Tommy's also an executive, so he's got to go that, you know, if anybody wants out, we can talk about that later. I think we're not going to do this on this video call. But that's all I got on that. I mean, I was shocked. I'm like, what? No way. Are you kidding? And then, I mean, God damn it, it's business. Like, I get it. It sucks. It sucks for Scott D'Amore. It sucks for all of his friends in TNA, including Tommy Dreamer. Like, it sucks. You don't want to see your friend lose their job. Like, at the end of the day, it's more about Scott than any of us. It's more about Scott and the talent. So, hang in there. They got this. It'll be fine. Maybe it's... And I also read that it's with... Ciccione's power and pull that, you know, they can get into bigger venues. They can have better production values because now it's like they had TNA over here and the rest of Anthem over here. And from what I read, they're trying to align everything. And when you align everything and put it all in a pot, that means the TNA, you know, the money assigned to TNA is now assigned to this giant pot to use in, and you can use those resources differently when you have more of them. And I'm not saying they spend billions of dollars on TNA, but there will be more available according to reports. What I have read, that's the goal behind this, and that's the hardest pill to swallow because at the end of this might be best for business. We don't know. Nothing against Scott D'Amore. Never met the man. He seemed all right to me. He sounds like a really cool guy. There's a lot of people, you know, giving him his flowers right now, so I would have to assume that he is a really stand-up gentleman that did a really good job with TNA and Impact Wrestling. He has earned wherever he wants to go. He wants to go to New Japan. He wants to go to AEW. He wants to go to WWE. He wants to stay home for a year. Cool. Scott D'Amore's earned it. Let him have his time. That's all I can say about that. And don't like attack TNA. Let's see where this goes. Mercedes Moné has been on AEW's payroll since January, apparently, per Fightful Select. Numerous options were discussed about when she would debut before they settled on announcing March 13th's big business show in Boston. Fightful's report also says New Japan expects that they'll have the ability to continue to work with Moné while she's under contract with AEW, which has been proven to be, like, it's been proven in the past, so I guess I couldn't see why they wouldn't keep working with them. That's why I think, like, we'll probably get Okada in AEW, and it won't really cause any problems because Okada can still go to work Japan. Because there's going to be a special place in Okada's heart for New Japan forever. So you know, that has to weigh in on Okada's choice. But, I mean, we're all sure. I mean, we've been informed that she's been getting paid since January. Hell yeah, Mercedes. Make that money. Get that mailbox money before you come and whoop ass and get your ass kicked for a living for us, for our entertainment. Yeah, you sit at home. You cash those checks. You get your mailbox money. That's cool because this is going to be great. This is going to be what the final catalyst for the women's division in AEW. So hopefully Tony and Scott have had some conversations because this is Mercedes. This is the biggest woman they've had, and nothing against Tony, nothing against Saraya. Mercedes Moné is one of the biggest female, one of the biggest wrestling stars in the world. She is just below Charlotte as far as I'm concerned, as far as fame and who, you know, needle movers. She increased pay-per-view buys for New Japan. She increased attendance at New Japan shows. She is a proven needle mover, and AEW need this very badly. And when she comes, I will buy her shirt. God damn it, I will. Fightful and PW Insiders reports both mention that former WWE writer and longtime Rock collaborator Brian Gerwitz will help work on creative for Rock's WrestleMania program, including being at big shows during the build. Insider says Gerwitz could even be there as a plan B if Endeavor ever needs to pivot WWE's direction and go with a Dwayne Johnson-backed creative team down the line. That sounds rather ominous for the creative team. I'll be honest, down the line, that could be in 3 months. Look, you gotta do, I'm not, we'll get into this more in a minute before I sign off, but I'm not happy. I want to see where it goes. I don't think it's a good decision. I don't think The Rock and Roman Reigns needs the fucking world championship. And I don't think you have Cody win if he's not going to WrestleMania to wrestle Roman. But a lot of this is damage control. I give AEW a lot of let's see it play out. So even though on Friday I was pretty upset and Saturday I was a little, you know, not as upset, but it took about till Sunday before my fan brain turned off. I get it. Especially if it's part of the deal with The Rock being on the board. You got the whole Vince McMahon shit going on, and I did not mean that as a pun that just came out. Brian Gerwitz is a proven commodity. He's very close with The Rock, as you know, as we've seen in the past and currently. It's a good move. Because what could come next? Because we don't know who knew what. We don't know this, that, and the other. Triple H could have known nothing and still be let go because we have to get rid of the Vince McMahon stench that still lingers here. He could be in no fault. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how close they were. Really don't. And before anybody says, oh, they saw each other every day, how could he not know, blah, 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 blah. Ed Gein? Ring a bell to anybody? The serial killer that hung out with policemen at the donut shop? These crazy, psychotic people that would do these fucking terrible things that Vince has been accused of doing have a way of knowing when to turn on and when to be their true selves. So it is not beyond the realm of possibility that this side of Vince McMahon was never shown to Triple H. I don't know. I wasn't there. But we have to give everybody that has not been named in this lawsuit the benefit of the doubt. Anyone that has been named in the lawsuit, it's alleged. That's how I'm going to go with it. I don't want to get sued. I want to be a professional. So that's how I'm going to word it. Triple H right now deserves benefit of doubt until something comes out, because it's been proven in the past, mostly with fucking psychopaths, that you don't truly know who people are. People have two faces. I know sometimes you call someone two-faced. But a lot of people, especially people that would do something like this, people that obviously have no empathy for other people, that would do some of the things that Vince McMahon is alleged of doing, know who to show that face to. They're not fucking stupid. They don't make it this long. It's not like a pattern of behavior. It's a pattern of behavior, but you know who to show that to and who not to. These guys know this. These psychopaths know this. It's been proven through history, or any time a serial killer, oh, he was the nicest boy, or he was just a little misunderstood, little dirty, never really clean, but I never thought. It's always, I never thought. Always, I never thought. Because people know when to show their true colors, unless you're fucking insane posting shit on Facebook about killing people. But other than that, I mean, like I said, the ones that, where it's decades or years, not the idiots, ones that get caught right away. I hate, because they're all fucking psychopaths, but like the people that get away with this for this long know what they're doing. And I only kind of brought that up because regarding the Vince McMahon sexual abuse allegations, a longtime employee of WWE told Fightful they don't believe the Janelle Grant lawsuit is the worst of it, as there were bigger settlements than Grant's. One industry source Fightful spoke to said they know of more people involved in the McMahon scandal. This person has been contacted by reporters, attorneys, and the like already, and have indicated that if the additional names involved aren't identified, they'll do it themselves. Whoa! See, I didn't even read this whole rundown. I was busy all day. That's wild. Like, it's like we all kind of figured it's getting worse before it gets better. I just want everybody to find the justice that they're looking for, not the justice that I think should happen if these allegations are true. Specifically the justice they're looking for. It's going to be rough for them to like be in disposition and stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't know anything about court crap, but I know they're going to have to relive these moments. I know that much. Hopefully they find the help they need. Reach out to someone. If you've been abused, if you're feeling down, like if something has happened in your life, reach out. And I don't mean reach out to a lawyer. I mean reach out to someone that you hold in high regard, that you can trust, that you can talk to. That can be a pastor. That could be a boss you've grown close to. That could be a father, a mother, a brother. Reach out. That could be a best friend of 20 years. Reach out to someone. Because this can tear people apart. I mean, I don't know. Nothing like this ever happened to me. I would assume that I would be all fucked up in the head if it did. So reach out if you need help. There's no shame in reaching out for help. That is how we heal. As humans, we like to be around each other. Yeah, sure, we have our moments where we don't want to talk to fucking people. We all have those. But we are a communal species. Don't forget that. We're here. There's someone here for you. If you got to reach out to me, I'll do my best. Just Facebook, whatever. If you need somebody to talk to and you have no one else but me, reach out. Reach out. We here at To the Turnbuckle, Snapmare Productions, Bruiser Nation Productions will make that commitment to you. Now, I might not be able to answer in 5 minutes, but if you need help, reach out. If you got nobody else, reach out to us. We will do our best to guide our way through whatever problems people are having. Last tier on Run on the Ropes, that got a little deep. Brock Lesnar removed from the 2K mobile game and replaced on special cover of 2K24. Saw that coming. I mean, took him out of the Rumble, took him out of storylines, put his merch on discount for 99% off. I mean, there's not much further to go than try to remove him from the game. Like, I'm assuming a mobile game is probably easier to remove him from 2K24, because that shit's probably, like, done. So he might still be in that. I guess they could update it later to remove him, but I'm pretty sure I read he's in a story. He's part of a story mode, so yeah, I mean, he probably won't be out of 2024. He won't be in 2025, I'm sure. But, you know, that's it. Well, that's it for Run of the Ropes. I do want to talk about a little bit of SmackDown, because, I mean, it's been the real grenade in the room was thrown on Friday Night SmackDown when Cody Rhodes came out to challenge Roman Reigns, or so we thought, to challenge Roman Reigns. And that's not really what happened.
So, Birmingham, Alabama! Roman Reigns. What do we want to talk about? You know, I imagine this conversation a little bit more private. If you'll indulge me, perhaps we can have the ring to ourselves.
That was the first part of Cody's promo there, and I hit the right button. Look at me go. That's two good things in a row this time. All right. Anyway, so that was the beginning of it. I wanted to play that because at the end of the day, Cody Rhodes is a damn professional. He carries himself as a professional everywhere he goes. It's utterly fantastic. I love the Cody Rhodes character. I really wish this next part never would have been said.
So I took a great deal of counsel this week. I talked to friends, family, legends. You know, you cheated me. I had you more than anybody that you've been in the ring with. I had you, and I think you know it. Seth Rollins, he's made a lot of amazing points this week, but one of them that I disagree with, he called that the Hollywood title. You can call it whatever you want. That's still the title that Bruno Sammartino held. It's still the title that was put into my father's hands in Madison Square Garden and then swiftly taken away. Again, call it whatever you want. I still want that title. Let me ask you, what is finishing the story? Because I've heard you say that all of this, all of it is yours. This ring, the canvas, the ropes, that camera, the announce desk, all these people. You guys belong to Roman Reigns, apparently. So, is finishing the story taking that championship from you? Or is finishing the story taking everything from you? Let me make it abundantly clear. I want that title. Matter of fact, I'm moving my own goalposts. I want that title. I want everything. And I am coming for it. I am coming for you, Roman Reigns. But not at WrestleMania. I mentioned taking counsel. Roman, one of the individuals I talked to, he knows you very well.
That was Cody's promo from SmackDown. It's been a long week as far as, you know, Friday to Thursday. The first elephant in the room. Can we not tweet awful things at people's family for a decision? Like, at the end of the day, I've said this 1,000 times on the fuck, it's fucking pro wrestling. Like, we're all in on the joke. We're all supposed to have a good time. You don't have to be happy about the decision. I'm really not. You know what? If it was me, the not at WrestleMania will be revealed in about 20 minutes because it's 6:40 on Thursday, February 8th, right before the WrestleMania press conference. I would say in that hour of time that Cody's like, yeah, I'm not coming for you, WrestleMania. I'm making you work Australia and he takes the title there. Because I've said it before. I've said it again. I'll probably say it six more times before WrestleMania. The Rock and Roman Reigns does not need the Universal Championship. He doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. If he is no longer the head of the table just because he is the undisputed world heavyweight champion. He is the head of the table. He has done more for the family in kayfabe than The Rock has. In real life, no one will ever touch what The Rock has done for his family, but in kayfabe and getting people to main event spots, because Rikishi didn't work. No fault of The Rock's. Umaga didn't work. No fault of The Rock's. I don't even know if they were in company at the same time, now that I think about it. But Roman Reigns has done the rare thing where that entire stable, you have two main eventers in Jimmy and Jay. You can see it. They might not be, they're not at Roman's level, but you got to get in the main event and get main event experience before you get at Roman and Cody's level. Like there are steps to this. Kurt Angle doesn't come around every year. Like that's a rare thing, and he still had a lot to learn when he came in. He was just really fucking good. But I, like I said, I'm giving this the benefit of the wait and see approach. I'm not gonna believe a single word WWE says when they say this was the plan all along. I don't buy that for a second. I buy that Cody said this is gonna be a problem. This is a bad decision. The backlash is going to be stupid crazy. I believe that because Cody's honest as shit, probably to a fault. But I'm still curious where this goes. It's not like I'm not going to watch WrestleMania. It's not like I'm not going to turn Cody's music up when he comes out whenever he does wrestle at WrestleMania. It's not like I'm not going to turn the volume up when The Rock and Roman Reigns go one-on-one. I would just prefer it not to be for the championship. That's all. I would just prefer that instead of them wrestling for the championship and taking Cody giving up his spot. Like, if Cody doesn't win the Rumble, none of this matters. If Cody does not win the Royal Rumble, none of this matters. And I know this has been talked about in wrestling chats. This has been talked about on podcasts. This has been talked about on live shows. This has been talked about on radio shows, I'm sure, to death at this point. But I still have to say it. If Cody doesn't win the Rumble, we don't have this problem because there's a lack in logic. And I know it's pro wrestling. But when you're telling a story and the Royal Rumble winner gets the main event at WrestleMania and it's the champion of your choosing and you wrestled that champion last year and you got screwed, this would be like, I'm pretty sure the Cowboys beat the shit out of the Bills during the three-peat years. But this would like be Buffalo got a bad call on the first one, and that's how they lost. And then they make it all the way to the NFC Championship or the AFC Championship game. And they just say, you know what, so-and-so, because I don't remember who they played in the AFC Championship. It was the 90s. I was 10. But that, it would be like them, like, you know what? Fuck this. Let's go home, guys. We had a good season. They can face the Cowboys. They can get their revenge for us. Like, that's a really big logic hole. And pro wrestling, we accept a lot of logic holes. We do. If you can't accept the logic holes in pro wrestling, you're probably not going to enjoy it. But those are few and those are like minutias and stupid shit. Like, you wouldn't really do that in a real fight, but it's fun, it's entertaining, okay, whatever. Like, that's the shit I'm talking about. This logic hole, this makes no logical sense for anybody to have made this decision. That's my problem with it. It makes no sense. And I'm not glad that people are being mean to The Rock's daughter. That's fucked up. But I am glad that, voices are being heard. That's cool. Just be nice about it. The Rock went off earlier today. That shit was funny. I hope you guys saw that. But that's all we're going to cover today, Buckle Brigade. I really appreciate anybody checking in. I kind of forgot to check the comments. Oh, hey, Deshaun, I'm so sorry. I'm a dick. That was 42 minutes ago. So thanks for watching, Deshaun. My bad. I got distracted. Thanks for watching. We're going to call it a night because, like I said, I mean, I would love for you guys to hang out with me for another hour, but I am not delusional enough to think that you're going to even pay attention to me when that press conference comes on in about 15 minutes. So with that, Bunker Brigade, thank you so much for watching. Don't forget, check out right there at the bottom. Two different links. There's two different links to W Energy. The first one takes you to the main website. The second one, down at the bottom with that nice little picture, takes you down to Galaxy Grenade. That's the new flavor that is coming to McCarthy Manor just in time for, well, probably next week. I ordered it yesterday, so it should be fine. Thanks for watching, Buckle Brigade, and stay good, because I'm always good.
I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I gotta, Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who matches up in front of you?
No, I expect you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second. The
new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Yeah. Mr. Samoa Joe?
Put the jack in jackassery.
Shopping cart down a hill.
I'll do it.
I see it
I'll
now.
I'll do it for free.
I see it now. I certainly hope so, because I don't have the money to pay you for it.
Well, I mean, you could slide me a buck.
I could.
You cheap bastard.
Wow.
It's like SpongeBob meets Mr. Krabs over here.
Get back in places.
I have a disability, I would hope. Are you my friend or aren't you?
I don't want to ignore our dozen of fans. That would be terrible.
Our dozen of fans. I like it. We are humble.
It means,
but let's make
no worries
exactly
for
the rest,
of
the
your
days.
Burner barrel.
It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.